I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com. Please like us and follow us on all the social media outlets. My guest today is Diane Marie Pissera, who is an Italian-American blogger and influencer, and the creator of Italy in a Jar with the motto, Bring Italy Inside of Your Home. Diane, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And so I understand that you are originally from Italy. Where are you from in Italy?
So my family is originally from Calabria. My parents moved up north to Friuli Venezia Giulia just for job reasons. My dad got a job in Friuli. He was in the Italian army. And I actually was born and raised in Friuli. My family is originally, though, Calabrese. So we used to go to Calabria in the summers, around the holidays. And then the year before moving to the United States, I actually lived in Calabria for the last year that I lived in Italy.
And where in Calabria?
It's a small town called Francavilla Angitola, and it's in the province of Vibo.
Okay. No, because my wife was born in Calabria.
Where?
Yeah, she's actually from a small town in the province of Cosenza. She's from the comune of Rovella in Zuppo, which is up in a mountain in the province of Cosenza.
Yes. I've been to a couple places in Cosenza, but not that town.
Oh, okay. So you went to school in Italy?
Correct.
So, I mean, you have like vivid memories of being in Italy, living in Italy, and then moving to the United States. Tell me
exactly,
a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can you tell me?
So I actually moved to the U.S. because my parents got divorced. And I moved with my mom when I was 9 years old, and we live in New York in Westchester County. And I remember going to school there. I remember pretty much everything about school and basically the life of a kid in Italy. And then we moved here. I actually started fourth grade here, and I didn't speak English, so I was pretty much a lost soul for I would say the beginning part, at least, of fourth grade. Didn't have any friends because I had really no way of communicating with them. And then, I had to learn English. I was in ESL classes. So I had to learn English because I obviously didn't speak any English. So I had to start over. And I had to also adjust to the culture. There was a lot of cultural differences that I had to adjust coming from Italy to America. So it was a little bit of a rough patch for me and also for my mom, because it was also just a challenge restarting everything in Italy. For example, she never worked, and here she kind of had to work. She raised me as a single mom. So there was a lot going on during those couple of years in my life. It was basically like I was living a split life, because at school I had to focus and try to do as best as I can. And it was kind of tough for me because in Italy, I was always one of the top students. And then coming here and not understanding English, that kind of affected my confidence a little bit, just because I was used to doing so well in school. And I genuinely always loved school. That then coming here and seeing kind of like my grades drop, just, and I guess it is normal, but it does really like impact you.
Now, did you guys have relatives? Is that where you?
Yeah. So my grandparents, actually, they came here, but then they ended up moving back to Italy, to Calabria. And then I had my aunt, one of my mom's sister, that moved a couple of years before I did with my cousins. And we had some of my grandma's brothers and sisters. So my great aunt and great uncles that lived here. So we did have family here. So it wasn't like it was just my mom and I. We had a good support system, but it was still a tough time, just because there was a lot of newness, and it was just like a big transition period for my family.
Now, I'm from Chicago, so I don't really know the New York area. Where you moved to, this Westchester County, were there a lot of Italians there?
Yeah, so there are a lot of Italians, I guess I would say in most parts of New York, tri-state area, New Jersey, there's a lot of Italians, which was comforting, but there wasn't a lot of Italians in my elementary school. Then we actually moved to another part of Westchester when I started middle school, like when I ended middle school, sorry, and started high school. And there are a lot of Italian Americans in the current community that I am now. But in my elementary school, maybe there was a couple people that were Italian American, but they didn't speak Italian. So that wasn't much help for me because I really wanted someone to talk to and I didn't have that, you know.
Well, that's one of the bad parts of us Italian Americans. We, for some bad reason, we don't know the language. We don't know how to speak Italian. And were they nice to you, these, you know, the Italian American kids? I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, honestly, like there was one girl that was, she was Italian American and she was very nice to me. Like, but again, it was, we, like I had to try to speak English. So if I didn't speak English, then it wouldn't, you know, there was no way of communicating. But everyone was honestly, like, for the most part, pretty nice. There was always like a couple bullies here and there, but that's, I think that's kind of the norm. But for the most part, everyone was very nice to me.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. And so did you, you seem very young. I don't want to ask your age because that's rude, but I'm assuming, how old are you? I don't even want to.
I'm 30.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people think that I'm a lot younger than I am, but I'm actually 30.
Okay. Yeah. You could definitely pass for like 22. So you came, so this, we're talking about roughly 20 years ago. So
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cause I could see, like, I mean, I know, like, let's say Chicago, people come here from Italy, but very few. The ones that come, they're mostly, you know, professionals, well-educated. They are coming for a job. They're from Northern Italy. It's not like the days where, like, you know, all this influx of Southern Italians moving here and they all come in the same neighborhood. So the other question I was going to ask, so you moved here like 20 years ago. Are you going back to Italy, like, to see your dad? Is it like a yearly thing?
So I do go back to Italy at least once a year. I love going on vacation there. My aunt and uncle that I'm like very close to live in Italy. They live in Friuli. So I love to go see them, and I love to go to Calabria. I stay, both of my grandparents unfortunately passed away. So, but we still have the house there. So we kind of use it as our vacation home because it's close to the beach, and I am a huge beach lover. So if there's a good beach, I'm happy. Very, very simple in that sense. So we go there. I like doing a little bit of traveling first and with my fiance, and then we just kind of stay at the house and we just go to the beach and just relax a little. So I try to incorporate some family and some just traveling, because Italy is a beautiful country that I always feel like I want to go around and check out new places, and I always have the best time. So,
did you grow up near like Udine or Trieste, or where exactly?
So, yeah. So, I mean, I love Trieste. I think that's one of the most beautiful cities, especially in Friuli. So I grew up in a small town in the province of Udine, and then where my aunt lives, it's in the outskirts of Udine.
Okay. And being there, but yet Calabrese, did you guys keep a lot of Calabrese traditions? And
for the most part, I always consider myself more Calabrese because, like, just like my mom, how she cooks, even the dialect, I don't speak dialect, but I can understand the dialect from Calabria very well. But I can't understand the dialect from Friuli, just because other than my uncle, who is actually native Friulano, everyone else is really Calabrese. So I always joke around. I'm like, I was born in Friuli, but I'm like, I am very much Calabrese.
Gotcha. Okay. No, that's great. That's great. Okay. So tell me, how did you get into this, and exactly what is a blogger, an influencer? Because, you know, I got quite a few years on you and I'm not really totally understanding all of that type of stuff.
Sure. So I started my Instagram page. It's called Simply Signorina. It was something that I wanted to do for a couple of years, but then I kind of second guessed it, and I started Simply Signorina as a way to share more of my style, some of my cooking, my travels. It's very lighthearted, and now it has grown, and I've actually turned it more my personal brand, meaning that I also have a different page that focuses on business. So what I do is I actually help businesses grow their social media following on Instagram, on LinkedIn, for example. So I help people, entrepreneurs who want to build their social media following or personal brands do so. And how I do it is I have my personal brand page, so that's Simply Signorina, but then I also have more of a business account, which is DMC Strategy, and that's my consulting. So you'll get more of that business content there, while Simply Signorina is lifestyle mixed with business.
And is this like an Italian lifestyle or just in general anything?
It definitely has more of an Italian spin to it because it's my lifestyle, so it definitely is more Italian lifestyle. And how I do it is I'll get on Instagram story, for example, to talk about something in business, but I'm also making like a butternut squash soup for the day, or I'm making a quick coffee. So I try to really incorporate both. And at the end of the day, I always say your personal brand is something that differentiates you. It's something that's very unique to you. And we all have different interests. So just because I have a consulting marketing business doesn't mean that's the only thing I like to do. I love traveling. I love good food. I love, my family. I love clothes. So just because I am interested and I help other businesses doing that, and it's very much of a serious business, doesn't mean I have to choose between one person and the other. So Simply Signorina is definitely kind of like the blend of the two. And then I also do have a more professional account as well.
Okay, well, that's awesome. So tell me about Italy in a Jar, where the inspiration came from, how long you've been doing it, and how it's going.
So I officially launched, it was November 15th of 2021. And inspiration came, honestly, I always wanted to have a product business. I always liked scents and perfumes. Like, I always thought that I was just such a cool world. I don't know. I always, like, when I went to Florence, I went to the first perfumery that like dated back to like 1221. And I thought like the experience was so awesome. I always loved like the art of perfume making. And this was during COVID. I am honestly like such a grandma. I'm in bed at 9 o'clock because I also wake up very early. But I love reading a book and lighting a candle. So it was just like a normal night. I have my book, I have my candle. I'm like, great. And then I'm thinking it was during COVID, so I couldn't travel to Italy. And I don't know what made me connect the fact that I couldn't travel to Italy and a candle, because I had a candle on. I don't remember exactly how I made that connection, but I did. And I was like, wait, I can make so many cool scents out of this. So I quickly ran to my desk because I wanted to write all my ideas down, because it was late at night and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to forget this. So then I kept thinking, I'm like, well, so many people I feel like make candles. And from my understanding, I'm like, it's not that difficult, but I've never made a candle ever in my life. So I'm thinking, I'm like, how hard can this be? I'm like, I know people that make candles. I'm like, let's just try it out. Next thing you know, I'm on YouTube, teaching myself how to make a candle. And then I tested out 98 scents because I was very specific with, which lemon I wanted to use, which bergamot. So I t tested so many scents because I wanted to get the right one. And then I picked out my jar, I picked out my lid. I'm very specific with the look because although you light a candle and it has to smell amazing, you also display a candle in your home. So I'm thinking I would want my candle like to be something that someone is proud to like just have in their house because it looks pretty. So I was very specific. I used a cork top because I was going for a very natural Mediterranean look. And I was just very specific with the how the label looked. I was just very picky because I knew what I wanted my candle to look exactly like.
And you mentioned bergamot. You have specific regions or cities involved with this. Tell me about the collab.
Yeah, sure. So I did a total of 6 fragrances. So my candles are, my top seller is Amalfi Coast Lemon. That's hands down my top seller, which I wasn't surprised, to be honest. That's why I knew it had to be one that I had to be included. Then because I'm such a sea and like beach lover, and I always feel relaxed when I feel like by the beach, I love the whole environment. I did a Mediterranean sea breeze for Sardinia. Then I wanted to do something fun and fruity. So I did a peach Bellini for Venice. Then I had to include Calabria because, you know, I couldn't not include Calabria.
It's not.
So I thought of bergamot because it grows in Calabria. So that was my inspiration for that. And I included Sicily with prickly pear because I know that there's a lot of Sicilian Americans. And I always feel like the prickly pear is very, it's, I mean, all of Southern Italy, I feel like you drive around and you see the cactus with the prickly pear. But I wanted to give that one to Sicily. Then I wanted to do something floral because I didn't have anything floral. And I thought that was missing in my candle collection. And I also feel like a lot of times when you go to someone's house, you bring flowers, but then flowers die. So I'm thinking, okay, well, this could be a really good hostess gift instead of bringing flowers. So I actually my fiance came up with this idea on a walk, and he's like, you should do Sanremo for flowers because it's the city of flowers. And it was perfect because Sanremo, the festival, is in February. Valentine's Day is in February. So it really like worked out perfect, but I can't take credit for that one because it was pretty much his idea. So I did a floral one. And yeah, I think that's it. I think that's all 6.
I did not know that was the city of flowers. So
yeah, and it's cool because when you watch Sanremo, the festival, like at the end, they always give them, like the contestant, they give them like a bouquet of flowers because like it's known for flowers. So that was the inspiration behind my candle for Sanremo.
Interesting. And is there candles, or you could do a candle that is maybe a non-traditional scent in the sense of like, hear me out, like something crazy like your Calabrese. And in fact, a friend of mine in Chicago started producing Ninduya. Are you familiar with Ninduya?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Ninduya. Yeah, I have it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I wanted
could
to
this
stick
be a
something,
possible scent
yeah,
to a candle?
Yeah, it's definitely something a little bit harder to fabricate. It was something I did. My fiance was like, you should do one like that because he's into the spicy food. And I'm like, it's a good idea, but let me stick to the more traditional, because even the traditional ones, I feel like are not as traditional. For example, one of the questions I always get asked is, do you have vanilla? Like, I don't have vanilla. Prickly pear is already exotic. And I'm like, they're very vacation-y kind of scents. So I had a lot more ideas, but for the most part, I figured let me start at least with something that's a little bit more traditional, because again, I also have to think, okay, if I'm in a living room, what do people really want to smell in their living room? What do people want to smell in like a kitchen, a bedroom, you know? So that's kind of like what I was also going with this. And I'm, you know, some of the more funkier, kind of like fun scents, maybe they're cool, but I don't know if someone would actually want their bedroom to smell like hot pepper, you know?
Yeah, right. Or smell soppressata all day long. I don't know.
Exactly,
you're right.
Exactly.
Plus, I'm sure in a business sense, there's money invested to doing it. And
yeah,
I feel like something crazy like that is either going to hit like crazy or bomb. So
exactly. Like, for example, when I started, I knew the lemon would be the top seller without even starting my website. Just I knew it right off the bat. And then my second top seller is the sea breeze.
Do you think that, I mean, I get the lemon part, and lemon is, you know, everybody likes lemons, but do you think the Amalfi Coast thing adds to it being the bestseller because that's such a well-known area and people hear about Amalfi Coast?
I think also what I've seen a lot of people give my candles as presents to people going away, going to maybe their honeymoon, or maybe they just got back from the Amalfi Coast, and the Amalfi Coast is such like a big touristy place. I mean, I love it there, but it does attract a lot of tourists, especially I feel like honeymoon. Like when I went with my fiance, we weren't even engaged. That was our first trip. And we were probably, we went in 2021. Like, I honestly feel like we were the only ones from America in the Amalfi Coast that year. And everyone was like asking us, like, oh, are you guys on your honeymoon? And we're like, no, like we're not even engaged, but no, we're not on our honeymoon.
So do you have plans to expand with Italy in a Jar?
Yeah, I'm looking at new scents, but nothing definite yet.
Okay. All right. Last question, just out of curiosity, where you live? A lot of Calabrese people in that section of New York?
Yeah, so there's a lot of Calabrese people, so it's kind of nice. I've met a couple people even from my hometown, which is pretty cool, and it's crazy because people I've never talked to, and they obviously don't know me, but they don't know my grandparents, and it's nice to hear because they always have like really positive things to say about that. And it's nice because now they both passed away. So it's like nice to like hear someone else talk about them, you know?
Yes.
Also, my fiance and his family, they're originally from Calabria. And you know, so that also like there's another crew, but yeah, a lot of people.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. And I forgot to ask, yeah, you're from Calabria. Is it a small town or is it a bigger city?
Yeah, it's a very small town.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. So in Chicago, we have a pretty decent amount of Calabrese people, and we actually have a society, La Società di San Francesco di Paola. And we run this big, they call it Festa della Famiglia every year in honor of San Francesco di Paola, which
for those in April?
No, it's not in April. The original couple of years was in April. Now they do it the second weekend in August. We just did the 42nd year. I think they do it in August because it's outside. And
yeah.
I know that San Francisco, the day is in April.
Yeah. So
it's a couple of days. We have a mass outside. We have like 1,000 people come to this mass. And then everybody has a picnic. It's really, really, really nice.
I love that.
Yes. And I'm a part of it now. I'm a member of the society. Mm-hmm. Even though I personally am not Calabrese, like I said, my wife is though.
Yeah.
So I've been going to this ever since I met her. I've been going to this.
I love that.
For a year, like 35 years I've been going. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. I wish we had something like that here.
You
so
don't,
fun huh? fact. No, fun fact. And it's funny because I always feel like San Francesco di Paola, like lately, has been following me. And then it's actually funny because so I got engaged over the summer. And the day I got engaged was the day that they were celebrating San Francesco di Paola at the town next to mine. And they had a whole prayer about like families. And I didn't go, my mom went with my whole family. They brought me back this prayer, knowing that evening I was getting engaged. Now I'm planning a wedding and I'm getting married at that church because, so yeah.
The church
so
in,
it's just,
in Paola?
Yeah, so I have to wait till June to really like confirm it, but 90% sure it's going to be there. But if it doesn't happen, the church that is by the hall that I booked is also called San Francesco di Paola. So either way, I'm getting married in a church that's San Francesco di Paola. But my goal, which I think is very doable, is going to be like the big one in Paola.
Well,
so,
that is excellent. Congratulations. That's
thank great. You.
My wife's town, when we would go to the beach, we would go to Paola from her.
Okay.
Town. That's where.
Yeah.
That's the beach they would go to. And it's about
So
30
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah. So I've never been, but my mom has been like all our families have been. And the hall that we booked is in the province of Cosenza. It's a little bit of a drive for us, but it's the hall that like I fell in love with. And I said, we should just do it at that church. Then I'm getting in contact and they're telling me, okay, like you have to wait until June just because my wedding is not going to be till 2025, which is fair. There's plenty of time. So, but honestly, just it's most likely going to be there. And it's just really cool because I always like, I felt like, you know, from our engagement and everything that I felt like he was just, you know, following us. And then, you know, like even when I asked the wedding planner there, I'm like, oh, like what's the church by you guys called? And she's like, San Francesco di Paola. So I'm like, okay, either way, I'm getting married in one that's San Francesco di Paola. So it was just, I don't know. It was some, like, I always believe that like, there's something like, you know, I'm very Catholic. I go to church every Sunday. So it was something that I was like, okay, I'm meant to do this.
Well, that is great to hear. And I'm so happy. And I mean, you know, younger people today, things are a little different. So I'm really happy to hear that. That's excellent. I wish you the best of luck. I hope you get the,
thank you.
I hope you get San Francesco di Paola in Paola. I really,
I know. I really want that one. And I'm very hopeful. They were very hopeful with me, but they said, you have to wait till June to officially book it. So
that makes sense. That makes sense. But keep the faith and you'll get it. That's awesome. That was a great story. I love it.
Thank you.
So how do people follow you? The candles, tell me all the info.
Okay. So my website for the candles is italyinajarcandles.com. And my personal brand page on Instagram is Simply Signorina. And the candle Instagram page is italyinajarcandles.
Okay. And the website, there's a website, correct?
Yeah. So the website is italyinajarcandles.com.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you.
And good luck with the business, the blogging,
thank you
the
so
candles,
much.
And most of all with the wedding and the location and
thank
everything.
You.
And God bless you.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you for having me.